This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up? What's up? What's going on, everybody out there in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is yours truly, LP. And we're creeping up on episode 140. Like, that's crazy to say. Just this little small podcast that could just keeps chugging along, man. Appreciate everybody out there for the support, for the awesome reviews, for the messages, for the input. Keep it coming, man. I 100% appreciate it. We're gonna keep this thing rolling and see where it takes us. You feel me? We going off of a theme here, and normally that's not my thing. Usually I just kind of do what I do and kind of put a point on it. But we going with a theme here. And honestly, this is kind of weird. I wasn't really a true crime guy. Like, that wasn't really my thing until I started podcasting. The first folks that were really cool, you know, helped me out with the whole podcasting thing, helping me, you know, market this whole thing were true crime podcasts. If you listened to me in the beginning, you heard a lot of promos for true crime podcast. I can't say that it's my number one thing now, but I'm way more open to them now than I was before. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I actually kind of sit down, because there's some real dope ones out there. I'll make sure I'll link a few of them as well. There's some real good ones out there. They don't really take advantage of what's going on out there. They just kind of give you the information and let you feel how you feel about it. I definitely don't watch a lot of true crime on television, but there's one that I can't lie, I watch a lot, For My Man. And I guess it's because I got all daughters and I want to make sure I lead them on the right path, you feel me? But basically, they show women who get led astray by men and they end up committing these crazy crimes. Sometimes, and these are the absolute best ones, y'all, because most of the time they get locked up and they go to jail and you never hear from them again. But every now and again, by the way, For My Man comes on TV One, all right? Black Network, dope Black Network too. Every now and again, they'll have, you know, the whole dramatization, and then they'll have the real person. The person that they're actually talking about, they'll have them talking about how they felt while you're watching the dramatization. If you're watching 10 episodes, you'll probably see this happen 3 times out of 10. But when you see it, I tell you, it is gold. Because you're not just going like, okay, what was this person thinking? You know, wow, is that what they said? This person is real life telling you, like, and this is what happened. This is why I'm going off this theme. I want y'all to think I'm getting sidetracked. There's like a point to this. So the girl is up here talking and she had this awesome life. You know, I won't say it was super duper awesome, but it was middle class. You know, she had 2 kids from her previous relationship and she had this man. He was helping her raise the kids. He was working. He had dinner on the table, you know. A real nice, close-knit relationship. She was like, I'm bored. I'm bored of the whole thing. I know he's a really good guy, but I was looking for more adventure in my life. You know, I'm 25, 26, and I'm looking for a little bit more. And then she meets this guy who's selling dope and doing all types of stuff, but she finds it exciting. So she leaves dude, just dumps him, and goes with the other guy, you know, who's moving the weight or whatever. And she ends up in all types of stuff. And she was like, looking back on it, I had something that was fine, and I looked at it like it was broken because of how I felt. So I went ahead and did something stupid, and she's like, I wish I could take that back, but I can't. You know, it's part of me now. I got to move on. She did mass jail time. She came out of it, and it got me to thinking, like, why do people do that? I never understood how people can have it one way and then go like, you know what, I'm looking for something different. When it was what they were looking for in the first place. It would be different if, you know, you're out here struggling and scuffling. You're trying to find your way through life. I get that. But you work hard to get one way. And then all of a sudden you go like, okay, this isn't what I want. But this is what you worked for. So now you finally get it and it's not enough. I feel like that a lot of millionaires do that. You know, a lot of those rich folks, you know, they work as hard as they possibly can to get to a certain level. And then once they get it, they feel unfulfilled. And for me, I feel like it's, you got to work for more than, that's why I always say it's more than about the money. Like when I podcast, it's not about the money. It's something I really want to do. Like me being a teacher, I'm not going to hold y'all. It's about the money. Like everybody got to get paid, right? But it's what I want to do. You know, I'm motivated, you know, to do my thing teaching because this is what I love to do. And when you're working at something that's not about the money 100%, it makes you look at something and not try to break something that's broken. I hear this from women. I hear this from men all the time. I had something. I messed it up. Now I wish I had it again. And I see that in a lot of sports as well. It's like a whole life sports thing. And I put it to you like this, because this is basically the thing. We're talking about, it's not broken. Leave it alone. You feel me? And the All-Star game, it's not broken. Leave it alone. Nothing's really wrong with it. And for me, this is the core of what an All-Star game experience should be. And I admit, there are some things that are not right with the All-Star game, but they're easy fixes. People want to just blow the whole thing up. This is what it comes down to for the All-Star game for me. Did I have fun watching it? That's it. That's it. People want to make it competitive. People want the players to care. They want them to go out there and go as hard as they possibly can. No, 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 no. That is not what the All-Star game is about. Please do not turn the NBA All-Star game into a regular game. That's not what it's about. It's about seeing your favorite players, seeing the best players in the league play with each other. That's what it's all about. It's not about them playing solid defense. Do you really want to see defense in an All-Star game? Like, real life. Is that what you're looking for? You tuned into the All-Star game to see 90s-style basketball, to see a 75-71 final. No. We looking for dunks. We looking for alleys. We looking for logo threes. That's what we looking for from our All-Star game. But people want to pretend it's broken. Oh, man, they're not even going hard. They're not even caring. They're not even playing defense. This game don't even matter. Maybe what we should do is we should make home court advantage part of the deal. Maybe we should pay them $50,000 for the winners and get the losers. No, no. Stop. Stop playing. Let's say you want to tweak the All-Star game. Okay, let's tweak it. Here's what you do. You go back to East versus West. See what I'm saying? That's the competition aspect right there. Who's better, the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference? Quiet as it's kept, and people don't want to feel me on this, but this is what it is, and it's real. The All-Star game got messed up when they took away the East versus West format. We, as a society, as Americans, we identify based on where we live. Man, my podcast called A Cincy Fan Talking. Like, I'm letting you know my location off the jump. I'm from Cincy. I'm from Cincinnati, and I'm a fan, and I'm talking about stuff. Boom. Most of us identify with where we come from, by where we come from. That's what we do. When you take the All-Star game and you just slice it and make it so, okay, we're just mixing teams up, you just took away one of the few competitive elements that the All-Star game had. Because you cannot make these players go out there and play absolutely hard for a game that means nothing. Be for real. You would be mad if you watch, hey, let's say, for example, LeBron James gets hurt during the All-Star game. That could never happen, right? Wait a minute, he did. How upset would you be if LeBron James, like, you're a Lakers fan. You're looking for your Lakers to go on a run, right? And LeBron James breaks his finger and is out for the rest of the year because he was going hard trying to provide you with the service of watching a great game. Would you be like, oh, well, at least he went hard? Or would you be absolutely pissed? That's what I thought. Yeah, I figured. They're going to go as hard as the game allows. Now, a lot of people will say, no, back in the day, they used to go super hard in the All-Star game, man. Like, the possessions mattered. Dude, I'm 44 years old, all right? I know, I'm blessed with excellent skin and whatnot, and I look super young. Just let me keep feeling that, all right? Just let me go with that. But in my 44 years, I've seen a ton of All-Star games. Like, you know, when people talk about the 90s and how great it was, like, I was a teenager watching those games on NBC and usually missing Saturday night because it was on cable and we didn't have cable, but, I mean, whatever. I'm not bitter. I'm a little bitter. Can you feel the bitterness? Yeah, I was a little bitter. So, I watched those games. We sat down and we made sure that we did not miss the All-Star game, NBA-wise. They were not playing hard. No. Like, there would be times where, you know, Jordan would get the ball and, some Western Conference guy, you know, maybe a Karl Malone would go over there. Maybe Gary Payton would be like, you know what, I got you this time. Maybe Kevin Johnson would be like, nah, I'm going to lock you down. That was fun. But for the most part, until the fourth quarter, nobody cared about defense. Nobody. They was throwing their oops. They was getting their stuff off, man. Like, that's what they were doing. And this was the 90s. This was back when they cared, quote unquote. But come fourth quarter, it's time to ball. You know, those competitive juices kick in and they want to win the game. But even then, it wasn't super duper physical. It wasn't nothing like that. And that's what people need to understand. The competitive element came from the fact that you had the East playing the West. You snatched that away. Now you have to create competitiveness. No, you don't. Just go back to East versus West. Think about it. How hard are you going to play when you just found out what team you were on 15 minutes ago? It makes no sense. You're not going to go super hard. So that's one thing they need to do. Go back to East versus West. And then after that, I mean, I guess you can put an incentive on it. Give the winning team more money and give the losing team less money. You could do that. But that's not going to make players go extra hard. You're dealing with millionaires anyway. So they're going to value their health over the dough. The All-Star Game has made excellent strides in trying to make the game quote-unquote competitive already. Using the Elam ending, amazing way to end the game. You're always going to get a walk-off shot, guaranteed. And on top of that, and this is for all the homies and all the ladies that that play basketball outside, that was out there going to 16, you know what I'm saying, going to 11. And if you lose, you're not going to be on the court for a while because it's like seven people that got next. You go up 14-10, those last 2 points are ridiculously hard to get because after that, you know, the other team that's losing, they need 6 more points to win. So they out here balling. That's what the Elam ending brought us. It brought that tension into the game. Even if somebody's down, you know, 12 and the target score is 18 points away from them, the game's not over until somebody hits that final shot. That's competitive as hell. You do not need to do anything else to the All-Star game. Some games are going to be great. Some games are going to be boring. It's just how it's going to be. It's an All-Star game, man. It's not broken. Leave it alone. That's all I'm saying. The NFL did the same thing with the overtime rules. The overtime rules were not broken. It was a knee-jerk reaction based off a couple of games in the playoffs. Now, as a teacher, I can tell you, whenever you do something knee-jerk, whenever you just kind of go like, okay, I'm changing this because two people can't handle it, all you're doing is inviting chaos to the classroom. Let's say, for instance, we got a quiz going. I got three people in the back of the class talking. I can tell they're not cheating, but they're talking. You can't talk during the quiz, you know. You can't make it look like you're transferring information. If I automatically go to the back of the classroom and go like, shut the computer down, get out, you failed, you talked. I'm enforcing the rule, true, but all I'm doing is making it so that it's a little bit tougher to gain the trust of these kids for the rest of the school year. Yeah, they broke the rule. No doubt they broke the rule. However, my knee-jerk reaction just took a situation and made it way more difficult than it needed to be. It didn't need to be changed. The rule was already in place. They know the rule. Mr. LP simply going like, hey, fellas, ladies in the back, we can't talk. Oh, my fault, Mr. Parker. My bad. And that's it. That's all I needed to do. The rest of the class flows smoothly. It's all good. Most of the time, they even go like, Mr. Parker, that was my bad, my fault. It's cool. We already settled that. You're good. That's what happened with the NFL overtime rules. They already changed them. The rules were trash before, right? Like, you get the ball, you drive 30 yards, you kick a field goal, you win the game. That was trash. That was A1 dog doo-doo trash. So they changed the rule. You get the ball first. If you kick a field goal, the other team automatically gets the ball. If you score a touchdown, game over. And I'm like, if you let a team drive all the way down the field and score a touchdown, you don't need the ball back. It's a wrap. It's over. But there was that one game, Bills versus Chiefs, and it was like an amazing game. And real talk, it wasn't really that amazing. The defenses played like butt the whole game. Like, if it was a 7-7 game, everybody would have been like, it was trash. They wouldn't thought the defenses played well. So, this amazing game goes down to the wire, goes to overtime. Patrick Mahomes keeps the ball for the entire time, scores a touchdown, game over. Man, we got robbed. We didn't get to see what would happen next. We don't deserve to see what would happen next. Buffalo didn't deserve to see what happened next. They lost. They lost by the rules. And to put a point on it, the same thing happened with Cincinnati and Kansas City the next week. Kansas City got the ball first, but guess what? The Bengals didn't give up a touchdown. They didn't even give up a field goal. So the Bengals got the ball, scored, won the game. Apparently, this was just trash. So now both teams automatically get the ball in overtime. Stop fixing things that are not broken. And really what it's doing in all of these situations, when you fix something that's not broken, what you're really doing is for the participants, you're making them feel like it doesn't matter what they do. You're just going to change it anyway. I've heard so many kids in my classes say that, like, they'll be like, Mrs. So-and-so, it don't matter what we do, she's going to change it anyway, so what's the point? We just not going to do it, just going to wait till she change it. This is from children, man. This is how adults think as well. When you get to the point where it doesn't matter what you do, it's not good enough, it's a recipe for disaster. It's why, it's really why the stars in the NBA won't do the All-Star game. Forget what you heard from ESPN. Forget people going like, man, people don't do the slam dunk contest because, you know, man, they just don't have that fire, man. Jordan did it. Like, that's always the go-to. Like, Jordan did the slam dunk contest. Yeah, he was a super duper star. I don't see, it was LeBron's fault that people don't do the slam dunk contest. Look, man, we looking at this whole thing with rose-colored glasses. That's what we doing. We making the past seem like it's absolutely awesome, and now it seems like mud. People don't want to try hard, blah, blah, blah. From watching every single slam dunk contest. Now, full disclosure, like I said before, you know, we didn't have cable in the spot for a while as a youngster. So, you know, I had to watch some of these on tape. I had to watch some of these, you know, later. But I seen them all. You had stars doing the slam dunk contest. I mean, you did. However, they weren't super duper stars at the time they did it. Like when Jordan did the slam dunk contest, this was before Jordan was Jordan. You see what I'm saying? When Kobe did the slam dunk contest, this is before Kobe was Kobe. I mean, Dominique Wilkins, that might be like a little bit different because he was the man when he was doing the slam dunk contest. But for the most part, stars don't normally do the slam dunk contest because they don't want to get hurt. That's how it normally goes. Every now and again, you might get like a super duper star do it. But for the most part, they're trying to rest their legs for the rest of the season. That's why you always see the young boys out there getting it in. That's why the young boys out there booming and slam dunking in the slam dunk contest. Pinning all of this on LeBron James is absolutely ridiculous. Since LeBron James doesn't want to do it, he permits the other stars not to do it. And I get he has a lot of sway. I mean, from a basketball perspective, LeBron James probably has the most influence, more influence than any other player I've ever seen other than Michael Jordan. And if we're talking about influencing players, then LeBron James is number one. But to attribute him not doing the slam dunk contest to everybody else not doing the slam dunk contest, that's just wild as hell to me. If you want to blame anybody, blame yourself. Not you necessarily. You're awesome. But blame people that just want to see people jumping off of a, jumping off of a trampoline and then doing five backflips, then slapping the rim twice. That's what people want to see right now. Like, you watch somebody in a slam dunk contest do a reverse 360 windmill, and they'll get like 42s, 43s. And then you'll see on Twitter people going like, man, that wasn't even that hot, man. That was trash. That's the reason why stars don't do the slam dunk contest. Why open yourself up for something where you can't even please the people that's doing it no matter what you do? It's not going to happen. That's why stars don't do the slam dunk contest. They leave it to the young boys that have something to prove, because the dunks that you see the young boys in the slam dunk contest doing and people going ooh and ah for, those same dunks you'll see Ja Morant or LeBron James doing, people go, oh, we expected more. That's why they don't do it. LeBron James gets so much hate, it's ridiculous. I talked about this on a past episode, but to make him the reason why people don't do a slam dunk contest, what are we talking about, like mindless people? Like, these basketball players got this far in life and balled out and was able to, like, have so much restraint and all of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, they just defer to one person? That makes sense to you? No, indeed. slam dunk contest, NBA All-Star game, well, the slam dunk contest, I mean, like I said before, that needs to be in-game. That's how you fix that. But for the most part, these things aren't necessarily broken. The overtime rules weren't broken. The All-Star game's not really broken. It's just that our perception makes us feel like we need more. We need more. And then we're looking at things that were fine a while ago. It might have been fine last year. All of a sudden, it's not. I think it's a mind shift that needs to happen. But y'all let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on the Anchor voicemail box system or whatever. And let me know what y'all think. Am I tripping? Do things need to be changed? Or am I making a good point? Let me know how y'all feel about it. So before I tip on out, here's your show to watch for this week. Now, it's a four-parter, so you might want to get on this early. So the name of the show is called Fight the Power: How Hip Hop Changed the World. It's narrated by Chuck D, which automatically lets you know that it's going to be awesome. And it is not what I expected. I expected this whole thing about, you know, how hip hop has changed, how it went from this to that. And I'm like, here we go. I'm like, I'm watching it because it's hip hop and that's my thing. But I'm like, I feel like I'm about to see a whole lot of stuff I already saw. It's not that. What this does, and I think it's absolutely awesome, is that it takes hip hop and it shows how hip hop was a voice for America and the world, not just black people, but how hip hop was a voice for the world going from the 70s all the way to today. It shows how hip hop played a part in presidential campaigns. It shows how hip hop played a part in world issues. It was really amazing to see. They have interviews from pretty much everybody you can think of. And it felt like I was going on a stroll down memory lane. They talked about hip hop when Obama was president. I'm like, wow. I remember taking our kids into the polling place to vote. And we were like in our 20s and everybody's kind of looking at us like, look at these young folks out here making sure they make a difference. You know, they had our kids in our arms, you know, making sure we vote. It was, you know, we're having these conversations while it's on. Like, you know, when this song came on, we're like, dang, that was 1995. Like, we didn't even expect Tupac to be talking like that. Like, we did, but we thought he kind of lost it and he came back with that. It's a really good documentary. The first two parts actually came out last year. Part one and two came out in September. And then part three and four, those came out this week. So make sure you check that out. Let me know what you think about it. Even if you're not a hip hop fan, I think this is one of those documentaries that you'll find really interesting because of how it takes the landscape of hip hop music and relates it to everything that happened in America and the world. I mean, we're talking about Hurricane Katrina. We're talking about the pandemic. We're talking all the way down to when Clinton was president. We're going back to when the first Bush was president. I mean, it was really insightful. So I honestly would like to see this painted with other music as well. It would be interesting for me to see that too. So definitely check that out. Public service announcement. Make sure you watch Snowfall. The first episode's coming on Wednesday night. It's a two-part episode. The first two episodes of season six are coming out Wednesday night, 10 and 11 o'clock. I hope FX pay me for this. Long story short, this may be one of your last chances to see one of John Singleton's, like, you know, brainchilds when he was still here with us. This might be your last chance to see that play out. It's been an excellent five seasons to watch Franklin Saint go from this bright-eyed, bushy-tailed guy who was getting beat up and robbed and kidnapped, going from that to seeing this guy who is low-key turning into a monster. I went back and watched season one, episode one, and kind of contrasted it with, you know, season five, episode 10. And I'm looking like, this guy is not the same person. If you watch Breaking Bad, like if Breaking Bad is your thing, I would relate it to Walter White not knowing what the hell he was doing when he was cooking up meth and, you know, trying to move it. He had not a clue. And then you fast forward later on to the later seasons, you're looking like, dude, this guy is on one. I see it like that because Franklin Saint is undergoing that exact same transformation. Check out season six. If you haven't seen the first five seasons, I would just go ahead and watch season six. And while you can, go ahead and catch up, because I feel like we're going to see some crazy stuff happen. And when I say crazy, I feel like it's predictable because we're talking about John Singleton and the showrunners are doing an excellent job of making this show realistic to what went on in urban America. So if you're familiar with what happened in urban America, you see the train coming and you see what's going to happen because you know what happened. But the journey to get there is going to be amazing. And I can't wait to see what happens. So I'll definitely be checking that out. Y'all know I'm a live tweeter. I have made it clear I will not be live tweeting through Snowfall. So if you follow me on Twitter and you know to put me on mute when New York Undercover cover on, you do not have to put me on mute for Snowfall, all right? My Twitter fingers are staying to myself. And I'll just discuss in the morning or whatever. So that's what I'm on. Hey, we out for the week. Make sure you check out any past episodes. Please stop listening to the first episode. It is scary that the first episode is creeping up ever so slowly as one of the most listened to episodes on my show. I hate that episode, man. I really do. But that's how I felt at the time. I mean, it was my first one. I think I had some cheesy background music playing. I don't know, man. It's like looking at yourself when you were 12, 13 years old, going like, oh my God, and you just want to cringe. That's how I feel listening to that first episode. So stop listening to it. I'm not taking it off because it's funny to me, but hey. Hey, until next week, y'all, make sure y'all take care of yourselves, man. Do something good for you. And as always, life is good. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's the Cincy Fan Talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.